All right, before we get into the show, this is the, long-lost episode of the WrestleCast. Devil Vamp wanted me to record, and I don't remember where I was at the time, but I just know I was really, really busy. We threw together a very small cast at show. Vamp wasn't on, DRG wasn't on, and it was just me, Bio, and Mop, and Katie. I wanted to get it out a lot sooner, but like I said, life just caught up with me, and I finally threw everything together, and hope you can enjoy this very late episode, but enjoy it for the fact of you can see if we were right or wrong and all that kind of nonsense, so enjoy.
This show is not for the easily offended, and show notice the explicit tag. If you don't like the curse words, fuck off. Now get the guns, the drugs, from my generation, I'll take the fall. The state, and across the nation, and it's a sin. The guns, the freaks, the fraud, they're messing with me. Come on, let's get it out.
Dude, I am the worst whore in America.
And welcome to DSJMP WrestleCast, where we get the like-minded, all this kind of stuff. We talk wrestling. This is episode 61. If you want to get a hold of the show, I guess everything is over at DSJMP.com, but you can also email us at DSJMP.com at gmail.com and tweet us at DSJMP.com. No dots. I am your host for this week, sitting in because Devil Vamp is away at a cabin. So when the devil's away, everybody is going to have a great, great time. And of course, like I said, I'm heavy set, and we also have Katie.
Howdy.
Howdy doody. And we also have Biohazard.
What's up?
And we have the one and only Round Pound of Beatdown from NFL Easy Picks, from Anything Goes. We have the Mop Jockey.
And don't forget the WIRX champion. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we don't have to. We're plugging our shit.
No. That is my shit.
We're plugging our shows.
The champ is
Yeah. I'm Dr. Dre. I've been there, done that. Our shows. I just realized I didn't call that my show. I called it our shows.
Wow, you actually are conceding that.
Well, I mean, I do all the work, but
I bring all the entertainment.
No, Shane's all the entertainment. We bring it from Shane. All we need is Shane there, and that's perfect.
Yeah, we pretty much extract it out of him.
Well, he normally gets things extracted. Never mind. That's a different story.
No, that's not extracted. That's inserted.
Yeah, inserted, extracted, whatever. Let's get into the show. Keep, toss, and improve. We will start with Katie.
Okay, my keep is I like the fact they were in England and they showed a lot of love to their British performers, with Barrett opening the show with Cena, Paige winning the Battle Royal, although she might not be even competing in the match at Extreme Rules, and Neville basically main eventing Raw with Ziggler. I thought it was really well done how they used them.
And of course, I called it.
Oh, Paige. A lot of Paige love.
Well, the fact that it's when you go to Britain, you go to England, you cater to those fans hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you're going to get a response from them, you're going to try to give them one way or another. So it's like you knew you were going to have Barrett, and that's a big draw. Neville being a big draw. And that's what I had heard someone say, that like one of the reasons why you bring up Neville, you bring up people like that right before WrestleMania, because this tour has been a common thing between April and May. So it's like you have WrestleMania, then you have this. So, okay, you have debut somebody, make sure whenever they go over there, they can provide that kind of pop. I mean, granted, last year was Paige. So when she went over there, did great things for her, and the same thing now with Neville.
The only person I would have added would have been Finn, because I know he's on the tour, and that would have been pretty sweet, too.
And that tweet he sent out, too, saying, hey, Vince, I'm here, they're here.
He's standing in the phone booth. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Well, that's definitely time for another year. They're going to do it. Like I said, they seem to be doing everything. It seems like WWE's tour schedule is roughly the same. It's just they'll go to places maybe a couple-week difference or so. It's always right around the same time.
They go to Europe twice a year in April, and then they go again in November.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's right after, right after, or 2 weeks after Mania, and then I think 2 weeks before Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, even if you look at some of the tour dates regular, you can always expect WWE to be in certain places a certain amount of time. Like, I know, like, for Cleveland, I know, like, we get Raw, it's always right around the same amount of time.
or same time of the year. They recently did two house shows a year apart in my local area of Canton, and those are right around the exact same time. So it's like there's a certain rhythm to it. It's, I mean, it's not exactly the same every time, but it's a flow.
It's pretty close, because I know we've got Dayton gets it twice a year, either live event or Raw, and it flips back and forth between Cincinnati. But it's like they follow just kind of a loop every year, you know, always about the same kind of loop. They might add a date here and there. It's always about the same.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else got to say anything about the points that Katie brought up?
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. It just, I don't know, it almost felt like they were pandering just a little too much to me.
Well, here's what I think. When you're in England, you're going to pander to that crowd for one reason, besides them actually giving you really big reaction for stuff and them kind of being star for the attention from WWE. But they're not going to get a very meaningful Raw. They're not going to get a lot of big events. Like, I think Naomi's heel turn might have been like the biggest thing that I didn't get to catch Raw because of what I didn't get to, I explained to you guys before we started recording, but I've had a hectic couple days, but I've got to catch a couple things through, you know, videos on online of YouTube and all that kind of stuff, and certain things I've read, but, you know, Naomi heel turn, that was probably the biggest thing of the night.
I liked it. I thought it was well done, and she needed a change.
Oh, yeah. But it's, you're not going to give them a lot because of the spoiler factor. You don't want something huge to happen, and then it to hit spoilers, and then hit the internet. I mean, granted, it's going to create certain buzz, but you want that shock from around the world at the same time when something happens.
Mm-hmm. So you don't think the announcement of the stipulation was a big announcement?
No.
Come on, he can't use the RKO.
Yeah.
And can you explain to me what the fuck a Russian chain match is?
A chain by a Bulgarian?
What's the difference between a strap? What's the difference between a strap match and an Indian strap match?
One was the strap was made by an Indian.
Okay, then this chain was made by a Russian.
And I've heard the comparisons to a strap match. I cannot see them letting somebody whip somebody with a fucking chain.
At least they're both white. You'd learn to take it.
that's beyond taking it, dude. That's torture.
Well, like I said, at least they're both white.
Are we sure about John?
Yeah, he's pretty white. Almost neon. All right, Katie, what is your toss or improve?
Well, I honestly debated back and forth of which category to put this one in, toss or improve, but it's the whole Miz and Mizdow feud. It's getting boring to me. I mean, they already had two matches already, and I don't want to see any more. I mean, what's the point? If they're going to put them on the pay-per-view, what could they possibly do?
Yeah, it seems like this is one of those storylines that kind of stalled out a little bit or something, however you want to put it.
Actually, what I think they're doing is they're getting the best two out of three done, with the third bitch being Extreme Rules and just being done with it. Right. They don't think it's a big enough feud for some reason to carry three pay-per-views.
No, it's kind of not.
Well, Miz is supposed to be gone with Paige to make that movie, right?
Yeah, that's sometime this month, so maybe that is why they went ahead and rushed and got this feud over with.
Do an I Quit match? He quit something? I have no idea.
No, I can't see an I Quit. It'll be something where Miz gets injured and is out for a couple of months or whatever. A
couple of weeks, yeah.
That's what I meant.
No, see, they added the Summer Rae element to it, and I think they just did that to spice it up a little bit, but I kind of agree with you. At this point, it's just kind of stalled out.
Yeah, they brought Pigeon Nose on the fucking tour. They might as well do something with her.
I wish they would do more with Miz. I've been a fan of Miz's for years.
Cleveland.
That's part of it. And I was doing some thinking today. Miz has done a lot for, like, wrestlers. He's probably had some B-level feuds with people as they were, like, trying to become stars. Like, you brought in Daniel Bryan, and one of the first people he feuded with was obviously Miz. And that carried on into right before Miz became champion. And I think another one right now is with Mizdow. But there's one person that I'm blaming for the derailment of turning Miz into a big star. CM Punk is, I mean, I'd love him, but looking at everything, hindsight, 2020, how everything has happened, this is a guy that bitched and complained that Miz was in the position that he was in. He gets that position, he gets the championship, he gets all this stuff, and what does he do? He fucking leaves. Where's Miz? Miz is still here. Hey, IWC, we gave you what you wanted, and look how he fucked you.
Speaking of Miz, though, it's like there's always one person that does not like Miz and is, I don't want to say actively holding him down, but it seems like they're holding them down. It started with JBL, and then it was Punk, It's always somebody.
Mm-hmm. So who is it now?
I'm not sure. But since Punk left, he's actually elevated.
It could be he's kind of on the rebound of everything that happened from the Punk time. Because, like, you really look at about a six-month period or so, he went from main eventing WrestleMania to being fired with R-Truth.
That was a great angle. That
was in Cleveland, and I was there.
He main evented Survivor Series with The Rock, though, which not a lot of people during this generation can say.
Yeah. That was probably his biggest high point since WrestleMania. Like, and I think everything since then has kind of been a...
Plus the awesome Truth. I mean, come on. That was a great tag team.
It almost feels like they were trying to transition him out of the ring for a while. Because he was off doing movies, then he did the commentary for a while. He's always been a good talker. Mm-hmm. I just don't know what they just must not think much of him as a worker.
Well, I look at his, like, actual performance. Look where he started. Like, I was having just watching this video about The Miz, and it kind of started when he was at The Real World, and you look at him from that point, and you go, oh my god, you know, this is a guy that now looks like this. Like, he went through a lot of shit, and he was not an indie darling. Like, he worked really hard for what he went through, but I don't think he gets enough credit.
No, he was the original Roman Reigns, is what he was.
Actually, I think Diesel's the original Roman Reigns, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. Biohazard, what is your keep, toss, and improve?
I want to toss the editing of the crowd chants. It times up. There was a point during Raw where they showed the screen for Orton versus Cesaro, and Orton got a loud pop, Cesaro got booed, but in the arena, Cesaro actually got cheered when his picture came up.
Yeah, I don't understand. I mean, I understand why they did that, but...
And they've been doing it a lot on SmackDown as well.
Well, they've been doing a lot on SmackDown for years.
Yeah, I know.
I understand why, because they want them to be the heels against, like, the Lucha Dragons' faces, the Primetime Players' faces. I understand why, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's one of those things, and it kind of goes with, it's going to go against what Mop has said before on, you know, the Week in Review of, I believe you should be able to cheer for whoever you want to cheer for. And a lot of times when you're going to, like I said earlier, you're going to England, there's a lot of European talent. I mean, obviously not just England, just European talent that is big over there. Mm-hmm. So they are going to get that pop. They are going to get that cheers that you don't want them to get, but that's the new Canada. It's Bizarro Land.
Bizarro World?
Yeah.
Maybe that's where Stardust is from.
No, he's from the fifth dimension.
Is his fucking outfits getting more elaborate every week?
Yes.
Seems like it. At least with the time and effort. I think he's more outrageous than Colt getting...
I think we should get a feud with Stardust versus the artist formerly known as Goldust.
Oh, wow.
Stardust versus Dustin Rhodes.
No. Stardust versus the artist formerly known as Goldust. With the ball gag and the crazy music. Like that was Goldust turned up to a million. Just craziness. That's strange, but I think that'd be funny. Him and Goldust. Anyway, that's going on a tangent.
That's what we do on the DSJ and P WrestleCast.
Yeah, and if you listen very closely, you will not hear Devil Vamp.
I don't care.
Two minutes.
Devil Vamp is off getting lost in the woods at a cabin.
Yep. And for those who don't know, I'm going to be hosting again next week. We probably won't have DRG on again. Sorry, DRG, you couldn't make it. Shit just happened. Yeah, it just happened. My schedule got messed up for the week, so, and with me recording, that kind of fucked up everything. So, once again, sorry.
You didn't put in the you fucked up chance.
Yep.
Anyway.
All right, Bio, what is your toss or improve?
My keep's going to be the... No, I did my toss a few minutes ago. I'm going to do my keep as Seth Rollins and his douchebag heel moments. Mainly the one I like from the main event spot was where they were choosing the stipulation in the matches, where he was like, oh, I'm going to ban the RKO. And then his little chuckle was just like, ha, 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 ha. He's being such a dick. And this goes into a story I had when I talked to a guy at work the other day, and he was like, well, why did they choose Seth Rollins as the champion? Well, you had Brock Lesnar leaving. You had Roman Reigns, who would have got booed, and Seth Rollins was the perfect match. His little heel moments, I'm absolutely loving. Reminds me of Edge from when he was world champion.
Damn. I see that. I mean, I've heard that comparison before.
Yeah.
They almost have the same look, really.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so easy to come up with that, no matter what.
So which diva are they going to have a live sex scene? That's all I want to know.
Zariah Schreiber.
I've already seen those titties. I want to see some new ones.
Uh-huh. I'll send you mine later.
Ew.
Ew.
Yeah, Seth Rollins is a heel. He's great. I think what's actually really amazing about it is no one expected it from him.
No, yeah. Absolutely not. I was picking him to be the biggest babyface of three of them. Boy, that was wrong.
No, you're not necessarily wrong. It still might happen.
Yeah, it still might. Yeah. He has made such a good douchebag.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, we have yet to see all three of them turn. We have them how they were coming out of the Shield, two faces and a heel. Eventually, they're all going to flip one way or another.
My prediction is that Rollins will become a babyface by the end of the year.
I'm thinking Ambrose is going to be healed by the end of the year.
Yeah, I'm thinking Ambrose is... Well, he's kind of already... I mean, he's kind of a fucking tweener is what he is.
I see him... Well, he's a tweener because of some of the stuff, but that also, when you're a tweener, I think... It's also like a transition.
Yeah, but he's been transitioning for, what, a year now?
No, because he's been more face than anything. I mean, he's not a baby face, but he's face.
He's on the good side, but a lot of his antics are not exactly what you would associate with the good side.
Well, neither was Austin.
This is true. And Austin would be the first to tell you that his shit, he should have been in a heel in any other generation, but the people got behind him.
Mm-hmm. And I think with Ambrose, there's a moment that they seem to be building up towards where I see him just snap. Napping, and that'll be his heel moment, but it'd be almost similar to what happened with Naomi, so they might space it out a little bit longer.
Yeah, you're not going to see that till at least SummerSlam.
Yeah, but I definitely think it's there, and then I think Reigns as a heel could be very good too, but of the biggest babyface out of all three of them, I still think it would definitely be Seth Rollins, but I also think Dean Ambrose has it in him too. I think that there is the Austin-style anti-hero that people want to get behind.
Agreed.
All right, and now let's go to Ma.
Well, I'll just go ahead and get my keep out of the way first, and that is Naomi just fucking brutalizing Paige. You don't see women do that very often, and that was fucking awesome. And actually, you know what? It's probably just, it's more the whole fucking roster. Everything seems super stiff, and I fucking love it.
Like how you go from talking to the divas and then say super stiff.
I was kind of super stiff. I mean, I can't help it.
I loved it, too. I thought it was great. I mean, we needed, I'm not sure, like, where this is going to go, because Paige is supposed to leave filming the movie, and then if they put Naomi versus Nikki Bella at Extreme Rules, and that's two heels against each other, unless they keep Paige on. I'm not sure, though, but I like the heel turn. It was a nice change for her.
Yeah, and she cut a fucking great promo after that, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the one time of the year where we need to see a lot of changes and stuff, so people flipping, and I think Naomi's made sense. She has that actual storyline of, this has been coming for like a year, and just everything just happens to always go wrong. This is her going off. I love it.
Does she change her theme song?
Thank God, please do.
I think she will.
You have to, though.
Yeah.
It could, this also could be the reason, I mean, you turn her heel because you want to get rid of that. Brodus Clay's been gone from WWE for a year.
Well, I also think it's just kind of a perfect storm, because is she married to Jimmy or Jay?
One of them.
Jimmy.
Is it Jimmy? Well,
Jimmy, yes, Jimmy.
Since Jay's going to be out for 6 months, there's no more Usos tag team right now. So that helped her a bunch. Now, what I did read, and it's probably going to come, it may come up later, is this wasn't meant for her. This flip wasn't meant for her. This was meant for somebody else, and I didn't catch who.
AJ.
Yeah, I was about to say that. It's probably AJ.
Yeah.
Probably
AJ.
Supposed
to do this for her, but she did, so.
That fits right in.
But to me, this is more impactful than an AJ turn. We've seen AJ flip back and forth 50 times already.
Well, we've seen AJ and Paige already 50 times, and Paige has only been on the main roster for a year.
Yeah, they did kind of have a 6-month fucking program the first year she was there.
Yeah, I definitely got tired of that really quick. All right, Moth, what is your toss or improve?
Well, I want to say it's going to be an improve, but it's going to work out to be a fucking toss. And that is that goddamn fucking battle royal. How in the fuck do you give somebody 3 minutes for a fucking battle royal that you don't even go over the fucking top? How in the fuck are
they
you supposed to give divas a
divas
chance? Yeah. How are you supposed to give fucking divas a chance when you fucking portray them as not even being able to go over the top fucking rope? You won't give them any fucking time. Fuck you. Either do it right or don't do it at all.
I agree. I mean, they should be able to do it just like the men. I mean, the one thing that made me laugh was when the Bella's on commentary and they asked who they wanted to win. They said Rosa Mendez, and then they started laughing. And she was just eliminated 2 seconds after. Crazy.
Is that how long the battle royal only went on? About a couple minutes?
It was only, yeah. Yeah, it was super fucking short.
Yeah, that should be definitely much longer.
They should have at least gave it 10.
Yeah.
It could have been a segment at least.
Yeah, I was going to say, it could have been a whole segment. It could have been a lead-in of them coming out, them one by one coming out to the ring. By the time the commercial breaks over, they're all in the ring, and then you're starting.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't add Brie to the match, though.
She was advertised,
and she teased it on Instagram. She was going to be in.
You're breaking up again.
I wish Nikki died in the womb. That'd shoot me.
I'm sorry.
I turn on Nikki.
Oh, well, that's got to happen again, but
it's got to be her getting her revenge.
They're just so bad on commentary. Why do they keep putting them out there?
Well, you know what?
Eye candy. That's what.
Why would you put them out on commentary if they're eye candy?
For the live crowd.
The live crowd can't see them when they're sitting at the announce booth.
I just heard someone on another podcast say they're bitching about Byron Saxton, and then they're like, yeah, they should put out Renee Young. She's hot. And I'm like, you can't fucking see her on commentary! So what does it fucking matter? I mean, great, yeah, she's hot, but like when she talks in commentary, it doesn't translate as well as her doing interviews.
Yeah.
And
the times I saw her on NXT, she doesn't have it yet. She may get it.
Interviewing than doing commentary. If we're
going commentary, I'd rather have Corey Graves do it.
Oh, Corey Graves is great, but he's also very new at it.
Do you know who's better than that? Sterling James Keenan.
Uh-huh.
That's Corey Graves.
Oh, is that his real name?
Yeah. No, that was his indie name.
No wonder you got all those fucking tattoos and fucked up in the head.
I'm willing to bet it's his ring name, because Keenan just sounds to me like you're paying homage to Maynard.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Obviously, well, Sterling James Keenan, Maynard James Keenan.
His real name's probably like Rupert.
Well, look at fucking Seth Rollins. He was Tyler Black on the indie scene, and then it's fucking, well, like Kobe Lopez or whatever.
Yeah, I think it is.
Real name.
Kobe or Cody or something like that, Lopez.
Yeah, so. Then Dean Ambrose's real name John Moxley or just something else?
Jonathan Good.
Wow. You can't make him up there, son.
That almost sounds like...
Can you imagine how much like shirts that would have say good work or good fighting or good this?
Good deeds.
Yeah, that would be crazy. I look at it, that sounds like a generic wrestler's name. And that's his real name.
A jobber's name.
Pretty much.
Matthew Polinsky.
Who's that?
Corey Graves.
Oh, Corey Graves.
Wow.
Sounds like an honor student's name.
It really does.
But now you give him about a year to work on it, and I think he will be on at least SmackDown or Main Event, one of those shows.
I think that would be great for him, because here's a guy that, you know, came from the indie scene, he was a wrestler, he was living his dream, and then concussions killed his career.
Yeah, and he said concussions.
Yeah.
He cannot wrestle anymore.
And WWE could have said, hey, you know, we're sorry, kid, we wanted you for this, but, you know, your health got in the way, we gotta let you go. Instead, they gave Corey a chance.
Yeah, and Triple H did. There was that video where he said, we're going to give you a shot at doing commentary.
And, I mean, I'll be the first to say it. I fucking hated Corey Graves as a wrestler. Fucking hated. I didn't think he could talk. I hated his fucking wrestling style. He looked like a fucking fucked up meth addict. But then I started hearing him on commentary. I'm like, damn, I'm digging this.
I'm not sure exactly what he did on the indie scene. I mean, I know he has local connections. But the one company that I know he worked for, they a lot of times will have wrestlers do commentary. Not for, like, a whole event. But it's their announce team is kind of a revolving door throughout the show. You have two or three main people, and then maybe like the next match, it's the main two, and then maybe a wrestler will come in. Like, I mean, they branch it out through the night, and I wouldn't be surprised if I went back and dug through some of the DVDs. He has probably done at least a little bit of commentary work before.
Well, isn't that kind of sort of the way Taz more or less got his start? Was just kind of here and there, he would pop up in some of the videos doing, like, background vocals, and then they started adding to the regular show, and then eventually that's what he became.
Yeah, but Corey Graves has already surpassed Taz.
Well, I don't know about surpass, but yeah, he's definitely on a trajectory to pass him.
Yeah, he's... Well, I don't know. Maybe it's because it's Corey Graves. Just the newer sound sounds better. But, yeah, we'll get to Taz later. All right. My keep toss to improve, even though I didn't get to watch Raw, still kept up on stuff on everything throughout the week. One of the videos that I did catch. I said it last week, and I'm going to say it again. This will be a keep. The Prime Time Players. And actually, I went back on YouTube and... I miss where they made fun of the New Day because they did that on SmackDown. So I love these videos. I want to see them do everybody. I can't. I hope next week it's Cesaro and Kid. I think that could be great. And by far the quote of the night is "Rainbow's my favorite color." coming from Darren Young. WWE, do not break these guys up just yet. Obviously, you got them back together. But give these guys the titles. Let them run with it. Let them. I think you could build the tag team division around these guys.
My only contention is, doesn't loss and lost mean the same thing in Spanish? Isn't lost mean lost in Spanish?
I don't know.
No habla español.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always thought, like, Los Angeles meant Lost Angels. Well, yeah. Los Matadores means Lost Matadores, which is what they called them.
Sure. I have no idea.
Los Matadores. More like Lost Matadores. Yeah, I remember that.
And the little fucking cut up pieces of fabric for the red masks was awesome.
Looked like baloney. Like they made a baloney mask.
Great. Another keep that I'm going to throw out there, because fuck it, I'm hosting. The return of Fandango. The real Fandango. I'd been thinking recently, going back to his WrestleMania match against Jericho, and a lot of people were talking during that time of, how is this going to stand for Fandango's career and Jericho's career? Like, are we going to look back 10 years after the fact and go, oh my, you know, Jericho jobbed to this guy who didn't mount to nothing, or is he going to be a guy that Fandango beat and you're just like, oh, you know, that was the beginning of his career, his first WrestleMania was against Jericho and then everything got better. But I realized, like, he kind of fizzled out. That sucked.
Kind of like Billy Kidman beating Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. Kind of like Zack Ryder.
No, I may work this into a call. I'm really worried about the Fandangos, the Kofis, all these guys that have been mid-card for so long, like at the top of the mid-card. They're not going to move up because the main event picture is stocked full. All this new talent coming up, those are the guys that are going to get pushed off and done away with.
Yeah, it's something that I've seen coming for a while because it seems like we're bringing these guys up from NXT. Those guys seem to be the future. You know, eventually we're going to have Baylor, Owens, Zayn. We got Neville up there now. We got Shield and all these other guys who were recently signed. But, you know, people are expecting them to have world title runs quick. And, you know, expecting these guys to be the future. But it's like, well, what about Kofi? What about Dolph? Yeah, he got a world heavyweight title, but...
Dolph's definitely going to get lost in this mix.
But I think you're going to need to see a couple of these older stars be made in. So I think, actually, going back to what I was saying, Miz, too. Granted, he was a former WWE champion, but he's no better than fucking Kofi and everything. I think, oh, Wade Barrett's another one. It's like, if you were got signed by WWE after a certain point, you have like this better chance of being made in this bigger star, this newer day, younger generation star. But now we have all these other guys that have just been mid-card for years. Like, well, do we do something with them? Or what's going to happen? I mean, yeah, it's something that, like I said, I've thought for a while now.
Well, and I heard this on another podcast. They were talking about the Neville Ziggler match. Fucking Neville made Ziggler look slow. And
yeah.
Neville's and Finn's is just as fast as Neville. Owen or Zayn can be just as fast as that. If these guys come up and they move,
you were
faster,
gonna say Owens.
Owens is not faster. Owens is gonna take over for a Mark Henry or a Big Show or Kane when they finally get the fuck off the TV. But
no.
Oh God, yes they will.
I think if you're gonna see anybody take over for them, I think one guy, I mean, I want to see what they do when he actually hits NXT, is Dylan Mile, a guy that's been with WWE for a couple of years, and he's a bigger-looking dude. I don't think he's a giant, but he's just bigger in general, which no one's probably seen what he looks like.
Yeah, I have no idea who he is. The only one I can think of is Bull. And no, please.
Why not? Why not Bull?
Why not hear a cannonball
Bull
in an ape outfit?
Bull.
No, thank you.
Bull. I think Bull.
Speaking of people,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, speaking of people that ain't been on TV in a while, Where the fuck has Baron Corbin been?
I was looking on Twitter. He's on NXT tonight.
Oh, is he actually on tonight? But this will be his first one in like 2 months.
He's been wrestling the live events, but not the TV show.
Anybody know who he fought on NXT?
No.
I just saw, like, I had seen a tweet before the show, like, oh, coming up next is the Lone Wolf, Baron Corbin. I'm like, oh, great, sucks.
I like him. I like his character and his presence. He's got to get better in the ring, though. That was depressingly bad.
I think Bull Dempsey could take over the role of, like, Mark Henry. Because Mark Henry, other than his World's Strongest Man Hall of Pain run, you had the comedy run, but what's a high point in Henry's career?
The retirement speech.
But that was after the Hall of Pain stuff, though.
Yeah, that's true.
So before that, there were not really a lot of highlight, but that you could, sure, there was memorable moments, like the hand thing with Mae Young, but there wasn't really a whole lot of big stuff that he did. Sexual chocolate.
Yeah, he was the fourth member of the Nation of Domination. Yeah, there's really nothing, is there?
So I could see Bull Dempsey taking over that role. Maybe.
You guys are forgetting the very important part of Mark Henry's career.
With the transvestite Sammy. Oh.
No, I was saying being married to, or not married, but having a kid with Mae Young.
I said that.
You said the hand part. Mae Young giving birth to a hand.
Yeah.
I'm looking up what Baron Corbin did on Twitter, on NXT. The only tweet I see is up next, the lone wolf of hashtag WWNXT at Baron Corbin is in action. But I see no tweets of, like, was it a jobber match?
It's probably you blink and miss it, so that's why the Twitter didn't catch up with it.
they did. God, I always forget their names. They're going with the tag team name of Shoot Nation, and they fought Cass and Enzo.
Oh, you're talking about Creator Wrestler 1 and Creator Wrestler 2?
Yeah.
Shoot Nation?
That's what they're going with.
Shoot yourself. That's a horrible name.
We're Shoot Nation because we're actual wrestlers. Yeah.
If there was anything such as a transitional champion in NXT, I got a feeling it's them.
I'm not going to do any tossing for fuck it. Another keep for me, and it's not just this week. It's been as of late, and we've yet to talk about it. Every time I see it on Twitter, I just love it. Kevin Owens on Twitter in general, but his interactions back and forth with Alex Riley.
Oh, God.
Kevin Owens is going to be the new age, or not the new age, he's going to be the next version of CM Punk.
I can see it.
Because like, he just has it, and I think the fans are going to get behind him very similar too. He's a guy that just, like, when he's a heel, he has a witty comeback for fucking everything, and that's why I love him so much.
See, I've heard the comparison of Rollins and Punk.
Yeah, I've heard him a little bit here and there, too.
Well, I've heard that because they kind of look alike. I mean, there was a point where they were both champion, WWE and NXT champions, respectively, where they looked like fucking twins.
Yeah.
I mean, I see that part, but, like, I'm talking about the heel mentality. Like,
verbally, yeah.
Yeah. If he gets
a different t-shirt. But
Rollins is a good heel. Well, technically he's a great heel, but I think he does more to have people hate him.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot more people that legit hate him, but granted, I think there's some of that was for CM Punk, but after a certain point, that went away, and there was a lot more people that just loved him no matter what, and I think Kevin Owens will be the one that will step into that part.
Yeah, my first experience with Punk was the fucking straight edge shit, and I fucking hated him. I literally wanted to punch him.
That was the most he was hated at that time, really hated.
He was playing the role of Jesus, and everyone hated it.
Oh, no, it had nothing to do with that. It's the fucking, I'm better than you because I don't do drugs. Fuck you, I'm going to smoke my goddamn joint.
I love the Straight Edge Society. That was probably one of my favorite times in Punk's career.
Yeah, the Nexus is one that I don't like, but yeah, I love the Straight Edge Society.
You know what my favorite part of his career was?
When he left.
The night after he left.
Oh, God. All right, let's get into...
What's on?
What's on?
My shit, dog.
Let me see. I'll start off. Still haven't really watched much wrestling. Didn't even get to watch Raw this week. Caught more of my Mad Men marathon. I'm all the way up to season 7, which is the season they're finishing up right now. Is there a podcast I've listened to? Oh, there's Anything Goes right here on the Trending Topics Network, or if you're listening on DSJMP.com or the DSJMP feed, you can go over to the Trending Topics Network feed and check out myself and the Mob Jockey and FTW, and we talk, one episode we talk nothing about Okay, maybe not nothing but we talk a lot about our reactions and our thoughts on WrestleMania, and then we go on off a couple tangents. And then we have an episode that was posted literally the next calendar day of 3-hour conversation between us, adding in questions from Twitter. Definitely very fun. I think I told a lot of stories this episode, that episode, wouldn't you agree, Mop?
Yeah, that was mostly you episode.
This very heavy. That's so.
Hey, I interjected with my fucking juvenile humor here and there.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to go for a smoke, and I wanted to eat some chocolate covered pretzels. Anyway, no, it's just, sorry.
Yeah, because you fucking start ranting, and you're starting talking. I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to go smoke. And then you're all of a sudden, you just stop. I'm like, God damn it.
This is what it was like when we're on fucking Xbox. You're just supposed to talk. Like, you want to go on stories? You want to go on tangents? Talk, do it. That's what the show's for. That's what I thought, motherfucker. Yeah, I think that's pretty much, I mean, listen to pretty much the same old shit other than that. How about you, Katie?
Well, I did get the new Ultimate Warrior Blu-ray, Always Believe. And, well, the documentary itself is pretty much the extended version of the one that's on the network. And it features new interviews with his wife and daughters, which seem like really nice girls, you know. The youngest one wants to get in the business. And, well, I think you'll appreciate this. Natty's become very close to them. So.
Yeah, I'd seen pictures that were, I think she released them. Of, like, her and maybe the youngest one, like, grappling up or something,
yeah,
tying up.
It's featured on the DVD. They have, like, a little mock wrestling match. And she had, like, the woman, Sandra, who makes all the clothes. They made, like, little outfit for her and stuff. Mm. So it was a nice little thing. They had tons more matches from his career. They have a lot more promos now, which were just fun to watch. I mean, I watched them. First, I watched them all at once. Then I watched them again with subtitles. Just to, like, get the whole feel. I mean, most of them you could understand him, but, you know, just the fact that they have now subtitles on there makes it a lot more fun. But, and there's tons more stories and things like that. It was very good. I highly recommend it. Get it on Blu-ray. And it's fun. It's nice. It's a good sequel to the last year's DVD featuring him. So I enjoyed it.
I'm happy that it's the re-release of the network documentaries. Me, I love having physical copies of stuff, so to have something like that that's on the network, and then basically saying, okay, granted, you can watch it here, but we'll give you all these extras and all that. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I pick it up, I'll probably pick up a DVD, because A, I don't have a Blu-ray player right now. B, my collection is massively DVD anyway. And I don't know. I love WWE's DVD packaging, because it's the thicker sets. And then the
disc, and it opens, and it has, like, the cool pictures and whatnot. They both come with a mini poster of the cover of the DVD.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's going to be definitely on my list. It's just getting time. I'm in no rush.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Bio?
Not really a whole lot. I missed Lucha. I watched NXT this week, which I thought was great. I didn't really watch SmackDown or Impact that much this week. I started WWE 2K15, the My Career mode, over, so I can run through it as a face instead of a heel, even though it's basically the same storyline, just with different characters involved. And I've been playing a game called Five Nights Freddy's. I don't know if any of you guys have heard of it.
I've heard of it. They're talking about, like, making that a movie.
Warner Brothers has officially got the rights to the movie.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that's going to work out, because it's a jump scare game and you don't move in the game. You just basically watch the cameras, close the doors or whatever. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to go with it. Other than that, I haven't really been doing a whole lot.
One thing you need to do is get some goddamn Grand Theft Auto and play with us on Saturday night.
See, I've been thinking about getting it. I just haven't picked it up yet.
You should.
I played it on 360, but I don't know how far I got on 360 will transfer to the one.
Did you play online at all?
No.
Then, yeah, none of it will, because the only thing transferable is the online stuff. But then you could get on and play with me and FTW, and there's another guy that plays, too, every Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, they don't want to play with me anymore.
No, you're never fucking home. Fuck you.
Well, even if I did, fucking, I don't have an Xbox One. You guys don't want to have it at 360 anymore. Well,
I do.
Shane's the one that he has to get rid of the old shit immediately.
It was probably broke. Is probably why he got rid of it.
Which I mean, I understand the reasoning kind of behind it, but for me, I mean, I've spent so much money on a fucking 360, and the fact that they're still coming out with the free games, fucking hell yeah. Like, there's a lot of those games I still want to play. When I happened to be home briefly, I downloaded, made sure I downloaded Gears of War Judgment. Judgment Day, was Judgment or Judgment Day?
Judgment.
Judgment, yeah.
Was that free?
Which is it's all, I'm habitual about that. I mean, I might still be able to use the next couple hours, but
no.
You don't have it for, yeah, you don't have it anymore?
I have the hard copy.
I think it's like what we mentioned on, I don't know if we mentioned on Anything Goes or not, but like there's four free games this month I know for 360. Two at the beginning, two at the end. One of them is an arcade game for the first of the month, and then the other one's Gears of War Judgment, the only one I have yet to play, so to get it for free, I'm like, fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then now the new one, or then the one coming out for second half of the month, I think it's another arcade game, but the other game is Assassin's Creed Black Flag, I think.
I liked Black Flag, it's just, it was really long. I never actually got all the way through it.
Well, I paid $7 for Assassin's Creed 1 about 4 or 5 years ago. So then by the time I beat that, because it took me forever to actually get around to playing it, because the first one is so bad.
Mm-hmm.
They started the free game feature, and I got two for free. I'm in the middle of Brotherhood, and I only paid $10 for it. I still got to get Revelations. That'll probably be about $10. And I already have Black Flag waiting for me, and then, Assassin's Creed 4 after that?
No, 4. So, 4 is Black Flag.
4 is Black Flag?
You missed 3.
Or maybe 3 is the one.
Xbox has a America's collection on for the 360 where you get Revelations 3 and there's another one, or Liberations. The one where you play as a chick. I don't remember which one it is.
Yeah, I thought Liberation was the arcade one. It's not like a hard copy game, but that's what I'm saying. It's an arcade.
Mm-hmm.
Which they've been doing for a lot of games. But to basically play I want to end up playing like most of the series and only spend like $30-$40, which is awesome. But anyway.
The new one, it's terrible.
I don't know. I'm still so far behind. The only series that I've been playing really in fucking gaming is, which I never mentioned, was Lego Batman 2. And I finally beat that, got my 1,000 achievements on it, or achievement score or whatever. And now I'm on to Lego Marvel. And that'll take me for however long. I think that does it for what's on. Everybody went?
No, I haven't yet.
All right, moving on.
Okay, so wrestling-wise, the only thing I watched was Raw, because, you know, WrestleMania hangover still. I've had a fill of wrestling a while. I played Lego Marvel. Fucking love it. Hearthstone just came out for the iPhone, so I've been playing the shit out of that. And I fucking watched all of Daredevil already. That show is badass.
Yeah, like you and about a million other people.
Dude, it's really good. Vincent D'Onofrio as Wilson Fisk, perfect guy for that role. And basically it's just picture Adrian Neville blind with a mask beating the shit out of people. That's Daredevil.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about it. It's eventually, that's like a handful of Netflix series I want to watch, but right now I've been just wanting to marathon my Mad Men, and then after that it's there's like so many shows that I need to start. People still want me to start Breaking Bad and debating on whether I want to give Walking Dead another try, but it's not looking likely on that one.
Oh, yeah, and don't forget HBO Now just started up, too, so I got that.
HBO Now, what?
Yeah, it's the HBO Go that you get with your subscription, but it's a standalone that you pay, I think it's $14.99 a month for, but it's essentially HBO Go, but you don't have to have the regular TV channel.
Okay, I've been hearing people talk about that, and I wasn't sure what they were talking about, so it's a bit... They started a Netflix service, in a sense.
Well, essentially what they did was they took the HBO Go and made it a standalone thing.
Yeah, but you don't have to have an HBO subscription.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah, they made it their own, like I said, their own Netflix service, which makes sense.
But yeah, I'm still playing my way through that. There's still a couple little, it's still kind of glitchy on streaming at times, but I mean, it's still a new service. I'll give it some time and see what happens.
I've been liking, just for what I need it for is Hulu Plus, because I don't have a television subscription. So a lot of stuff that I would watch on TV, I'd just watch on Hulu.
Yeah, but
the only thing I don't like is there's certain shows that they keep everything for, and then there's other shows that they only keep, like, the last 5 episodes. Like, a show that I really liked watching, but I was really behind on it, is Modern Family. They only keep, like, the last 5 episodes. But a show like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which I end up, I think I had downloaded all the first season, and then when I went to watch the second season, they had, like, the whole thing on there, and they still have all the first season on there, too. So, like, it differs, because there's other, I think Gotham is another show that they only had like the last five episodes.
Yeah, that was one I really wanted to catch up on when I got the HBO or the Hulu Plus, and that aggravates. And they make you watch commercials for a paid service. I'm probably going to dump it again.
Yeah, I'm not high on some of the commercials. Like I started watching like Doctor Who on there. And I'm so used to either watching it on the BBC copies that I have gotten, anything that I've downloaded, or Netflix, and all those are no commercials. So when I'm watching this on Hulu and there's a commercial, I'm like, man, fuck this. But, yeah, let's move on, unless you got anything more. Did you do any podcasts this week?
This week, no.
This past week, you didn't do any podcasts?
Well, if you're talking about Saturday for hashtag the anything goes, or no, that's not that. Goddamn it, that's at the anything goes. I'm fucking so bad at this. that was on Saturday, sir. And that was last week.
Well, that's what we talk about. This, like, what have you been watching? Like, it's not what you've been watching since Sunday.
Dude, that was just the last 2 days of what I've been doing.
Sure. But anyway, so you did a podcast. What was it called?
The All Wrestling Week in Review.
Motherfucker, plug our show.
Anything.
We have to be like all those other fucking whores out there that all they do is, like, plug their stupid-ass dumb show.
Dude, I am the worst whore in America.
No, you can either do it for money, or you can do it for fun.
Shane is, because he gives it away for free. So he's the worst whore. Anyway, all right, next up we have... I don't have a rundown in front of me. I'm bad at this. Do we want to do emails, or do we want to do... Let's go to the bio dump.
And now it's time for...
Toxic News Dog.
Yeah, I'm going to keep that in since we have no clip anymore.
That's the best clip anyway.
That was better than whatever he came up with. Anyway, let's start it off from the top. Ross and Marshall Von Erich from the legendary Von Erich family and Matthew Riddle, a former UFC star, are set to get a WWE tryout starting next month.
Hey, I didn't see the Von Erich one.
I saw a tweet about that and I was just like, oh, more Von Erichs. Cool.
Yeah, they wrestled in TNA briefly. They got a big pop in the Texas area during, I think it was Slammiversary, I want to say, but TNA decided not to sign them long term.
Well, why would they do that?
They're already behind on their pay.
Oh, I just meant they make very poor decisions.
Like, what's her name? Lacey Von Erich? Wasn't she there for a while?
She was. Or she was in the Beautiful People and played a dumb blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, moving on.
Mm-hmm. WWE. You can see our excitement.
Everybody's so excited. WWE is set to use well-known names for the new season of Tough Enough. It's supposed to be a mix of independent wrestlers as well as some unknown or lesser popular athletes.
Ooh-ha Nation.
I was just getting ready to say, does that mean Ooh-ha's one of the Tough Enough contestants? Hey, my tongue doesn't always work right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Tough Enough contestants are all the wrestlers who
just
reported.
Got signed.
Yeah, well, the 11.
The ones that just reported to NXT, and there's a group shot of all of them. The two that I know is Ooh-ha and Jasmine.
Yeah, I knew there was a couple of Australians, and there was some, I think there was some bodybuilders. I didn't see any of the model types, though.
No. I was going to ask you guys if you saw more than just Ooh-ha Nation that was in that group, because I didn't recognize any of the other guys.
The girl on the far left is Jasmine.
And what's her fame?
She really doesn't have much fame. She's a wrestler. She's only about... Let me look her up on Facebook. I'm actually friends with her on Facebook. Because I want to double-check her age. She's not very old.
All I know is Blue Pants should be on fucking Tough Enough.
Leva Bates.
No, she should just be signed. She might not be Tough Enough.
Well, we know most of the competitors that are going to be on this Tough Enough are going to be signed already.
Yeah.
Triple H is supposed to make that announcement next week. It's like, is he announcing who's hosting or who the trainers are?
Probably just going to announce the host and maybe the trainers up front. And then they'll let you get to know the competitors on the actual show.
Yeah.
Jasmine is only 20. And she's from Canada. I know she's been wrestling in between Canada and United States. A lot of part of it was Cleveland. I went out to one of her last matches was Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Got a lot of good wrestling.
How old was, what was her name, JoJo, when she started Total Divas?
Like
18
or 19.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just wondering if that was, like, the thing with Paige was they wanted her to be 21 before she did anything, like, main roster-wise. I didn't know if that meant, like, Tough Enough being on TV. They didn't want anybody under 21 doing that either.
Yeah, because they do drink a lot. Or at least in the original Tough Enough run, they did.
Of course, they'll make that a fucking storyline, too, so...
Right, moving on.
John Cena has posted a picture of the United States spinner belt, and it's being teased that that's the one he's bringing back to TV.
No, he's not doing that.
Yeah, I think it's a joke.
It's probably like a flashback or something. He's like teasing, oh, I could bring this back. It's going to be something brand new.
Hopefully.
Hey, you don't like the championship, me being champion? Here's what I'm going to do for you.
Make it spin. Right?
Well, the picture, because what people are getting it from is, it's literally, it's just his old spinner belt.
Yeah.
Like, even the logo's the old logo, and if they bring back the spinner belt, it's going to have the new logo, and why would you just redesign the new logo and you would try to make a whole brand new belt? I wouldn't be surprised if it looks kind of similar, but obviously doesn't spin it, because looking at it now, it's just like, it's a hardcore fucking United, literally, just American flags and all this kind of stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if it's something similar where it's plastered and that shit.
I think I'll probably unveil it maybe the night after Extreme Rules, should he win.
I would love to see the boxing/Rocky Balboa red, white, and blue trim for the belt.
You talking about the actual leather part of the belt being the American flag ruffly thing? Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Totally won't happen, but moving on.
All right. The Rock was apparently the one that convinced Dana White to allow WWE to use Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania 31.
I believe it. They have the same agent. They have the same agent, so they're friends and stuff. Why not?
Sure as hell wasn't CM Punk. which I need to say this. I think now that AJ's retired, gone, quit WWE, whatever you want to put it, I see CM Punk, and he seems like he's going to bury WWE even more. Like, he's been kind of, like, against it, but now I see him being relentless, because now your wife no longer works for them, so now he's kind of like, fuck you.
Well, if I remember correctly, she retired, but she's still under contract, correct?
That's what it's been reported, yeah.
She's still under contract, but it's kind of like...
She's riding her contract out, basically.
Yeah.
She
can't work anywhere else.
So, couldn't they still technically fire her? Technically, since she's still under contract.
Probably depends if they're paying her.
And they're not going to fire her for anything her husband says.
And it's, well, if you want to retire, you have that right. So she has that right to say, okay, I want to retire.
They made, like, that mutual agreement. They'll let her go without releasing her contract. She'll still be under contract. They're just going to let it ride out, and she can't work for anywhere else at this point. She's getting paid to stay home, basically.
Yep, moving on. Bio, you there?
Yep.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Taz has mutually parted ways with TNA.
Yay! Or am I supposed to be sad?
I think it's a little bit of sad, because it's just another step in the wrong direction for TNA.
And apparently his replacement is trying Al Snow.
Yeah, Al Snow trying out as an announcer. Yep.
Boo. Anyway, well, Mop, this is the part where you come in. Apparently there are still some pay issues continuing in TNA. You want to elaborate on that one?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've got most of it from that fucking Dave Meltzer fuck, but it sounds like it may not have been TNA's fault. It sounds like Panda Energy, who does all the payroll stuff for TNA, they were moving offices, which means the payroll offices got shut down too. So within that shutdown, everything got backed up. And it sounds like they're trying to get it back underway, and I really hope it's not a money issue, but I don't know if we'll ever really know. But I don't know. If it hadn't happened before, I can buy Panda Energy saying, you know, oh, we shut down, and this is why, blah, blah, blah. But they've had this issue before.
All right. Well, the Briscoes...
Hold on. I was on mute, my bad. It's so weird with TNA. They are literally the laughing stock of wrestling. It's been like that for years, and you have the TNA fans like DRG who have stood beside them and battled all these cynics and critics, but it seems like the more things change, they just stay the same in TNA.
Well, let me add this too, because I don't know if Bio has it or not. TNA also evidently, with Destination America, sounds like Destination America is sticking their fucking nose in it also. Sounds like they're the ones that wanted Kurt Angle to be the champion. Yeah. They're the ones that want Taryn Terrell to be the champion. They weren't happy that they had taped shows in the UK. It sounds like another Spike TV all over again.
Yeah, but the only thing that sucks about TNA is they have to take what they can get.
Yeah.
Sadly, yes.
I think the difference, though, is that Destination America is giving them more time on the channel, whereas Spike TV was barely even promoting them.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about that, because I watch a lot of Investigative Discovery, And I'd say at least once or twice I've seen, once or twice a week I see Impact commercials. So at least they're getting advertising out of it.
Yeah.
But for a company to tell you what you should do as a wrestling company, now granted they haven't made the best decisions on their own, but you don't need a third party coming in telling you, here's what we want.
Yeah, there's... I don't know with TNA anymore. I would love to sit down and start watching, which actually, well, no, I'm not going to foreshadow my best of the week. But they do some good things, but they still do some bad things. And I still feel like nothing has changed since the beginning of last year when we talked about it, me, you, DRG, and everybody on the Impact Players. We went into the special, like, 4-hour episode. Fucking, they have one foot in the grave and one other foot on a banana peel. But as much as they do things to change things for the good, they've yet to really change their position as a whole.
All
right.
It all starts at the top.
Yeah, that is true.
Oh, the Briscoes. The boys.
Well, the Briscoes have announced that they have signed a 2-year contract extension with Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I've read and heard two different versions. One is that WWE refused to give them an offer. The other is they had offers from both WWE and ROH. Mm-hmm. ROH upped their offer to the Briscoes. The Briscoes went back to WWE to ask, you know, if they would match it. And basically, WWE said no. Basically, I guess it comes down to
money.
For them to go to WWE, they have to make enough money to cover what they were making with ROH, the independent dates, and also make the money up from what they would be losing on their farm businesses. This is what they have to make with WWE to have a reason to go. And it wasn't enough, so they said, ROH, here we come.
That's exactly what the story I heard.
But then again, I've also heard WWE never actually offered them it, so who knows.
Right, moving on.
Well, this one was said earlier, that Naomi's heel turn was originally planned for AJ, but they went with Naomi since AJ has retired.
Makes much better sense.
I actually like this way much better anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like Katie was saying earlier, do you have Naomi feud with Nikki, or do you put another contender in the running for him? Do you have Paige face Nikki at Stream Rules, go over, and then face Naomi at the next pay-per-view?
Triple threat.
I think?
Yeah.
I think that Naomi's going to continue to attack Paige, take her out, take her spot as number one contender to take on Nikki, take the title from Nikki, and then when Paige is coming back from recording the Christmas Bounty 6 or whatever the fuck they're taping, then you have the built-in match of Naomi versus Paige.
Paige's tweet, though, said that she's going to be back very soon, so this is probably the way to write her off. She might be off TV for right now, so... I mean,
yeah,
we
but
have to
Extreme
wait
Rules is only in 2 weeks.
I know, but I mean, it'll obviously matter when we see Raw if she's still there or not. But if not, they probably will put Naomi in that match, and it'll just be the one on one. Which again, it's weird if you have two heels going against each other.
Yeah, that is true. I didn't think of her. I mean, technically, that was a heel turn for her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wait and see, I guess.
That's what we have to do with all of wrestling.
Yeah, that's storyline rumor, so you really have to wait and see there.
Yeah, and then the last one I have is WWE is growing more concerned with Daniel Bryan's health issues, and they have actually pulled him from the rest of the European tour.
Yeah, that actually has me worried.
I'm hoping it's just a preventative measure, like I heard.
I do. I honestly do hope it is just a preventative, and it's not a relapse of some sort.
Neck injury can get pretty well. It's the way he wrestles.
Well, and when you start talking about nerve damage, you never know how it's going to heal or if it will heal, or, you know, it's very, very touchy. So everybody out there that was crying, oh, Daniel Bryan needs to be in the main event of WrestleMania. Yeah, that's the reason they fucking didn't do it. Yeah.
But he's the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time.
Greatest of all time.
They were calling him GOAT anything. Not because he's the greatest of all time, because he has a big fucking beard.
I mean, they made a shirt with him as a GOAT, so it's a GOAT.
And I actually own that shirt.
All right, so I guess we can get into the emails.
Oh, let me add one more. Oh, shut up. Supposedly Jim Ross and the WWE have come to some sort of an agreement to do one of his ringside chats on the network.
Oh, God.
That's a little interesting.
Yeah, especially when he seems to be very anti-WWE lately.
If you listen to the beginning of a lot of his podcasts, he's not really anti-WWE on there. He'll praise, like, some good things, but if there's some something that, you know, most of us go, why the fuck did they do that? That's a lot of things that he's questioning. He's like, I wouldn't book it like that, but then again, I don't work there, so nothing I can do. I'm just going to enjoy the show kind
of
stuff.
Of course, he'd still be booking headlock matches, so, you know.
Kind of makes sense, because doesn't Sonic also sponsor things for WWE, too?
Yeah, but they're not... He even says on his fucking podcast that he isn't sponsored by Sonic, but yet puts out a fucking Sonic promotion every week.
Because he drinks his Route 44 Diet Peach Iced Tea. Say it with me.
No.
They're probably gonna make a fucking version that's the Route 44 something iced tea.
Route 44 WWE Iced Tea at Sonic.
It should come with, like, a barbecue sandwich or something that has a Sonic. Sauce on, that'd be perfect.
It's and a little Confederate flag to hold as a cup holder.
His sauce is all right.
I want to try it, but I've never had a chance. I have been. Katie probably has.
I think it's like $4 on.
No, I haven't.
I figured you would have got it so you can get the autographed picture of Jim Ross of the Shamrocker painting.
No, that is a good selling point. I've been thinking about it. I like Jim Ross.
Coming next week on DSJMP WrestleCast, Katie will give us a review after she's ordered the
barbecue sauce.
Like I said, I ordered it. It's all right.
Bobberknocker.
It's slobberknocker good, because you slobber when you eat it. Yeah.
It being on the fucking shop like that, it's like everything else on the shop that I want. The item costs $5. The shipping's $6.99. It's like, fuck you people.
I just, like, when I ordered a t-shirt, I just threw that on there.
Yeah, but I don't want to buy any t-shirts right now.
Yeah, I want to buy too many.
I had that problem the other day. I was adding shirts. They had a sale for, they were $17.59 on Monday. And I just started adding shirts to the cart, and I got over $100. And I said, yeah, I'm going to wait.
I took all my fantasy money and blew it on fucking shirts. So
And for all of those listeners at home, it wasn't me coughing this time.
Fuck it. I can edit it out, though, so suck it. And I don't want to see all the shirts they have. There's still so many that I want.
They'll be getting an Axelmania shirt.
Yeah, they're officially selling Axelmania shirts.
Really?
How fucking stupid is that, though? It's fucking almost a month and a half too late now.
They should release one for every pay-per-view. He's doing Axel Stream Extra Rules and Rules.
Extra Rules. Extreme Rules. Yeah.
They need to update their damn website. Every time I go to new products and hot new products, like it's just the shit from
it's John Cena's
NXT
shirt.
No, just shit from NXT Arrival. That was like the last time it's been updated. And I don't believe that the Triple H shirt, which is at the top, is the hottest selling, so I know it's not that.
See, I want the new Bray Wyatt shirt with the little lamb on the front.
Oh, see, I thought that was creepy as fuck. I had no interest in that.
It is, and I love it. I want it.
I do want the other. There was two newer Bray shirts. I wanted the other one.
His face with the lantern.
Yeah.
It just says New Face of Fear on the back.
Yeah, I want to get that Curtis Axel shirt. I want to get the Diesel Hall of Fame shirt, the Leonard Blaze Hall of Fame shirt. I still want to get the last Finn Balor shirt.
I kind of wanted to get that I Can, I Will shirt from Roman Reigns, too.
That's right, I failed.
Yeah, I just got his. He hasn't worn it yet.
You're going to go take a buffet food challenge and just wear the I Can, I Will shirt.
Last one I tried was the Squared Circle Four Horsemen Challenge. It was like these, like, four three-quarter pound burgers, I think, or half-pound burgers.
Fuck that.
And there's cheese injected into all of them, and they're different. And I was eating these burgers, just the actual patty itself, one at a time. And when I got to the third one, it was like this ricotta cheese or something. Whoa. But whatever it was, it wasn't the taste, but it was just this heavy cheese. Whoa. And immediately, like, I felt getting full. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, the fattest man on this call says, oh my God, that's fucking too
How much you weigh?
Four.
Yeah. Oh, no, you're saying you're the fattest man. I thought you were saying I was. My bad.
No. This guy right here says that's too much fucking food.
Yeah, it's... Oh, and there's like this big plate of fries. I didn't get a chance to take a picture of it. That's actually one of the sad things about my only visit to the Squared Circle, because one thing we haven't talked about on the show is everything that has went on with her and her estranged husband. I think they're in the process of a divorce, and she no longer manages the restaurant. It's all him and all this kind of stuff. So this was all, like, I went before everything. I didn't get to meet her when I went. I wasted it on trying a food challenge. I didn't try any of the really cool stuff that they have. Like, what did I keep hearing? The pizza wontons are supposedly really good.
Slobberknocker pizza.
Yeah, the Slobberknocker pizza's good. My ex, she got a Twinkie milkshake, I want to say it was.
That sounds like a heart attack waiting to happen.
But there's stuff on their menu that was, like, really good. And here, I take this fucking food challenge. I'll probably never go back. It'll probably be gone before I ever even get a chance. So, yeah. It's kind of sad and pissed me off.
So, basically, to sum up your story, I now have a chance again.
Of what? Oh, with Victoria? Sure.
Oh, like you wouldn't. Shut up.
Go ahead. What's your bad self? What's your bad self?
No, I'm not saying that I wouldn't. I'm just saying sure, as in you having a chance.
Hey, chloroform and duct tape.
Aren't you married?
Technicality.
All right, now let's get on to the email segment, and we only have one from Andy Anderson.
Hello, boys. Hello, Katie. Double A here. I was talking with a girl. She went to the London Raw show, and she got her Seth Rollins sign confiscated while at Raw. Now, if that was me, I would be pissed. There was no reason why it would have gotten confiscated. I think they were just trying to get rid of pro Rollins signs. Now, come April 28th, I'm going to a SmackDown in Moline, Illinois, in the Quad City area, where Seth Rollins, Kobe Lopez, blah 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 is from. Now, I have a Seth Rollins sign that I made like over a year ago. He wasn't at the last show we went to because there was two shows going on, and he was in the one in Peoria. Now, I'm going to be upset if they take my sign I made, stored for almost 2 years. I want that sign to be shown. And I'm about to stun someone if they're going to try and take that sign away from me. What's your guys' thoughts? Have you ever gotten a sign taken away from you? I know the last time I was at a show was right after Royal Rumble when CM Punk quit. So they were taking CM Punk signs. Now, I kind of understand that. But it was a live event. There was no freaking... It wasn't televised. So I don't know why they were even taking signs. I don't get that whole thing.
Okay, he actually does have a little bit after this, but we'll start with that. I'll say this. When I go to WWE shows, I don't believe in bringing signs. I think going to a big crowd show, what you're doing is blocking people's view. And I don't know, it's just there's too many signs. And I don't even like it when people bring it. Signs to house shows. Granted, you want to show your wrestler support, but it's a fucking house show. It's not like it's televised. So I just don't understand. I know, like, other people that I know, like, they want to bring signs to, like, support products or plug stuff. Like, I don't even do that shit, so. Yeah.
No, speaking of other people, we went to that live event and he didn't bring a sign.
Like, what? Hasn't he asked people to do it?
Yeah, he's asked several. He's like, Wayne, why didn't you bring a DSJNP sign to Impact Wrestling or to Raw?
Yeah, people, I mean, it's not just that show. It's just this whole thing. And this is, if I would ever get asked, like, why don't you do it? I'll be like, if I'm not going to bring a sign promoting my product, why would I bring a sign promoting your product?
And does anybody actually look any of that shit up? I know I never have.
That's my big thing, too.
Some have, but it's usually, like, the guy who's on the show or the guy's show it is, he's like, oh, look, my sign was on Raw, and then people gravitate towards that, and then they go to listen to the show, but...
Oh, yeah, I mean, people have been plugging shit like that for years, and...
Yeah.
If it's cool if you're a part of something, and you see it, you're like, oh, cool, but, like, it doesn't bring anybody in.
'98 is where, like, the peak was for signs in the crowd, because it was just a sea of signs. You couldn't see people. I mean, the only thing that makes me smile, I mean, I get why there's people bring signs and they get rid of them. I mean, the Colt Cabana head always makes me laugh once in a while.
The surprise Patrick a few years ago was great.
Oh, yeah. There's a picture on WWE 2K15 where it shows Brock Lesnar doing his scream, and there's a picture of Patrick behind him doing the same scream.
Love it.
The Scotty Goldman songs, yeah.
Yeah, Scotty Goldman. So, yeah, I think we've all not had our signs taken away because, like, the only time I did bring signs to an event, like, I don't even really bring them to indie shows, but there was one company in particular called Prime Wrestling, and I obtained a gimmick as a fan of being the Prime Wrestling sign guy. I would normally create signs for the heels, but it's those shows were on a local TV. I would try to always get hard camera side. I always try to get front row, and I don't know. It was a little bit different, but now that that's gone, like, I don't bring them to any other wrestling show. That's just how I am.
Yeah, I've never had a sign taken. I've never been told to change my shirt. Never been kicked out of the arena, so.
Things you should look forward to.
Yeah.
And, I mean, let's face it. Is there any way to verify that this actually happened?
Yes. Well, I mean, it's in the realm of possibility. I'll give it that.
It is. But usually if they're going to take a sign, it's profane or it's blocking camera views. That's the only reason really they take
it. It might have said something about small packaging or, like,
still your favorite? Small package, still your favorite?
I would go to a show to enjoy myself. I'm too lazy. I don't want to hold a sign up all night long. I'm lucky enough I want to take pictures. I don't want to hold the sign up all night long.
You only hold it up when the person that's coming out, you know, is their sign. You know, you don't do it
even
the whole
then,
time.
Though, I'm just lazy. I don't want to do it.
Seth Rollins. Okay, Seth Rollins isn't there. I don't want to hold my sign up anymore.
All right, more for Mandy.
My other little rant is I miss the videos with the music that they have for the pay-per-view that they would play right after the pay-per-view. I kind of miss those. I know they did them for WrestleManias for sure. They didn't do it this year. They haven't been doing it for the last pay-per-views in a while. I wish those would come back. I think it's kind of cool. What do you guys think? That's all I got for this week. This has been AA, and that has been my nickel.
Andy, you're fired.
Yep.
This year with WrestleMania, they showed all the pictures, which I like just as much. But doing it 2 and 3 weeks afterwards, it's kind of redundant.
Yeah, the NFL Red Zone channel does basically that same sort of thing, where they, after all the games are done, they start running down and showing video clips of all the touchdowns, the music. It's pretty cool, but I don't think there was time after Mania to do anything, because if I remember right, it ended at like fucking 2 minutes till.
Yeah, they've been running it down to the wire. I don't know if it's just pay-per-views or just WrestleMania in general. Because I remember a couple other ones where, like, right after it was over, then the replay was starting immediately. And I remember back when, you know, you'd watch the pay-per-view, and there was always, like, an hour left between the time it was actually over till the time the replay started, which was always a set time.
Mm-hmm.
So that they used to have plenty of time to do that shit.
Yeah, to me, that's just filler because you ended the show too early.
Yeah.
All right, did I miss any segments?
No.
I didn't think so.
I only got one left.
And let's get into the best of the week. And my best of the week is the, to me, the surprise signing, or TNA using Mia Yim and Marty Bell from the indie scene. At least they're getting some good signings. And me and DRG were having a conversation, and it's sad that TNA signs better female talent than WWE, but WWE will always sign better male talent. Like WWE, when they sign their women, they like to go for these younger, and they don't want to go for the names like TNA at least tries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bringing in Mia Yim, Marty Bell's not really big. Big to me, because she's actually dating another local wrestler who I'm roughly the same age as. We grew up just two towns apart. We actually have common friends. He's a cool dude. I'm trying to think of some other names that they've used. I mean, they bring in some of these women. I'm just like, this is great. This is awesome. But your male talent, I mean, your last great signing to me was, I want to say EC3, but at the same time, I think Tyrus was a good addition. But who else was there?
Was Spud before EC3?
Spud, I'm not counting Spud just because he was the gut check winner. Like, it's nothing against him. Like, I do think that's great. But a guy that, at least when he got signed, when Hutter got signed, or EC3, I was completely for him. Like, oh my god, this is going to be awesome. He's going to, you know, he's no longer going to have the restrictions that he did in WWE. This is awesome. And he's shown why that I was right. But I don't think there's been any of, like, really, really good signings since then.
Can you call Lashley a good signing?
I look at Lashley as a promotional signing.
Yeah, but he's done. I mean, what he did in TNA was actually pretty interesting.
What is your best of the week, Katie?
Honorable mention goes to the Warrior DVD. I highly recommend it again. But I really like the Neville Ziggler match, main eventing match on Raw. I thought Neville was really good against Ziggler. I love the 450 splash off the barricade. That was just awesome. And they had a good, decent match. I mean, down the road, they could have a great feud together. So it was fun. I enjoyed it.
Biohazard?
For You want to do mine, or you want me to do my thoughts on Katie's? Because I have both. Thoughts with Katie's was,
okay.
I totally agree. That match was phenomenal. And that high spot with that 450 off the barricade, absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I think actually they might have actually hurt themselves during that.
That was a hard-hitting match.
Dude, that super kick looked just the perfect angle for it. It just looks so good.
And that DDT, too. That strong DDT.
Oh, where he stood on his head.
DDT is where I cringed, yeah.
I was just like, wow.
All right, well, my best of the week was NXT from last week as when this airs. They highlighted the journey of Hideo Itami going to WrestleMania. They showed the matches leading up through the tournament, and then his journey at WrestleMania, the little video package. You guys have probably already seen it. That was beautiful. Just showing his first WrestleMania and how proud he was and how excited he was just to be at WrestleMania.
It was good to watch. I enjoyed that. I mean, it was very emotional for him. His kids were there and everything, so it's a good thing.
Well, smartass me all has to say is that, well, I knew there was a reason I skipped NXT.
The matches themselves were great.
I'm not a fan of
Hideo.
Itami.
Yeah, he was the one when they made all the signings back to back to back that I just went, whoa, I don't know about him. Because you knew Balor was going to make it. You know Owens was going to make it. But Itami, it was like, eh, you don't know. But he's really proving himself in the ring.
All right, best of the week.
Oh, shit. I didn't even think about doing this one. Best of the week. You know what? Since I technically watched it this week, the John Cena interview with Chris Jericho, I thought it was really cool. I thought that was he seemed to be more genuine than what you normally see on TV. He skated around a few of the questions, of course he did, performance enhancing drugs. But, it was a good interview. It was nice to hear the more human-y side of John Cena.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, a lot of that was covered last week.
Yeah, I know, but since I didn't get to see it till this week. I think my favorite part was that he used to ride around with, what was it? Was it Michael Cole and, Funaki, Michael Cole, and John Cena rode together in a car.
No, the Funaki one was when he first started. One after Tajiri. That was him, Michael Cole, and...
Tajiri.
No, Tajiri was in the car.
It was with Funaki.
Oh, okay.
It was Tajiri, Funaki, the Bashams, and John Cena.
There's a combo. But no, where he came up with that stupid three he does, it was supposed to represent him, Cole, and then there was somebody else. It was a backstage person.
It was a referee. I think it was a referee.
Yeah, I think it was, too.
I can't remember now, but I thought that was really cool. He just seemed more genuine. I mean, he basically put it out there. He's like, you know, if somebody can take care of the stuff he does with kids, he'd be more than happy to switch. And from everything I've heard, he spent big bucks because they were going to flip him. And I thought it was like $50,000. And I think it was Hero was talking about it on a podcast. Said basically when he found out that wasn't going to happen, he went down to NXT and said, here it is, you know, here's what I had bought. Spend it. So
he invested it into the outfits and said, hey, instead of he went ahead and canceled his order and said, hey, put it in an NXT fund for whoever's guy of the month or something like that, superstar of the month. They would give him an outfit, and that's what it's going towards.
So yeah, that's I watched that this week. God damn it, that's my best of the week.
All right, so we'll close things up. And Katie, where can we find you?
At Katie First Lady.
Biohazard?
At The Biohazard King.
Mop?
At The Mop Jockey, at The Anything Goes, hashtag NFL Easy Picks, fuck it, hashtag AWWIR. Yeah, wherever else.
And then eventually you'll have your own football podcast?
Or... Yeah, once I can work out the logistics of it, yep.
You're not really, not that it's your own podcast, it's a...
Spinoff?
Kind of.
Yeah, kind of. It'll be a little different, but...
Your own mini-sode of NFL Easy Picks. And, of course, you can find me at Heavyset330, and just actually find me there, and probably all my other links are fucking there, too. Definitely Anything Goes. Two new episodes were posted within the last week. Check them out. They're fun. We do a lot of talking, a lot of bullshit, and just three friends.
The three best friends that anybody could know.
Oh, dude, I'm gonna use that. That should be our new intro. but who's who in the three best friends?
Well, Shane's got a
well, then, yeah, but then he, oh,
Well, then again, it's three best friends, but it's like four people.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they're Doug's best friend. That's the only other stuff that I can think of. Obviously, the plugs that we mentioned earlier, and you can find all the other contact information at DSJMP.com. All we got to say is bye.
Bye.